Esteli is the cigar capital of Nicaragua. Of course, while we're there, it'd be rude not to at least visit a cigar factory and go on a cigar tour. It'd be rude not to. It turns out Joe and again the other guy, I do apologise, I've forgotten your name. When we were in Esteli, we were there for a weekend. We started to stay there for a few days, purely because number one, we wanted to go on a tour. Number two, the American football, the championship games were that weekend as well. So we wanted to find a bar to be able to watch the games, to be able to then, you know, have some fun watching that with, you know, in a bar with some cigars, etc., etc. So we stayed in Esteli for a few nights. The cigar tour itself was intriguing. A very wonderful tour. From memory, it was about $8. And we were picked up from the hostel. We went over to the cigar factory, had a tour for a couple of hours. And we were learning everything we could about cigars. How they, you know, get the leaves, how they roll them, how they do this, how they do that. We went into the various, you know, aspects of cigar making. Some of the rooms were disgusting in terms of their smell. It was a very potent smell. Not that I'm against smoking or anything like that. I think all of us in the group were used to it. But some of the, I think, substances they were using to either dry the tobacco leaves or something like that. There was one of the rooms that was incredibly pungent. We all just walked in and all just walked straight out. Of course, you have to try this. You have to try these things on site. It'd be rude not to. So we were all walking around meeting, you know, the various people that were rolling the cigars. We all walked around with a big cigar in our hands as well. We were having a great time. And it was just a really informative couple of hours. And we ended up buying a bunch of cigars from the shop as well. And we learned a very interesting lesson from Nicaraguan cigars. Now, whether this is 100% true or not, I don't know. I've never bothered to properly investigate this. This point that I'm just about to make was later validated at a later point by a woman in Guatemala. The Nicaraguan cigars are made of the same, or supposedly made of the same leaves that they use to produce Cubans. So in effect, what the cigar owner, the cigar plantation owner was telling us was that in effect, Nicaraguan cigars were effectively Cuban cigars. They're both the same. But of course, the prestige that comes with a Cuban is a lot grander than getting your Nicaraguan cigars from Esteli. That was interesting to learn. And again, we kind of ummed and ahed about that at the time, but it was later validated by someone else. If that's, you know, different, do let us know. But that's what we were told on the day. We'd all picked up a box of cigars as well, and you know, that evening we went off to the found a bar that was prepared to show the American football for us. There was a championship game, I think one day, and a championship game the other day, or it might have been both championship games on the same day, I don't know. Two reasons for watching it. Number one, you know, bloody New England are in it again, so we watched them, and they beat whoever they beat. They won their game, so they were off to the Super Bowl. But the second game was, oddly, it was the Seattle Seahawks, and they were playing the Green Bay Packers. And of course, Aaron being a Seattle fan, we watched it. It was interesting because Green Bay were doing really well. Their quarterback, a guy called Aaron Rodgers, was injured. He was playing, but yeah, he was not moving as well as he could have done. And Green Bay were, I think, maybe like 16 points to nil up, something like that. The Seattle quarterback had thrown multiple interceptions. Seattle weren't having a great day. It was in Seattle. You go into the final quarter, I think, and you would normally say that there's no way Seattle are winning that game. They're not winning that game. They're too far behind. They're playing poor. Green Bay could have wrapped it up by then. They just were not taking their opportunities, even though they had an injured quarterback. Anyway, it was complete chaos. Complete and utter chaos, because Seattle ended up winning that game in overtime. A brilliant fourth quarter comeback. They rattled Green Bay. Green Bay didn't take their chances. Seattle pulled out some great tricks, some great plays. Boom. Next thing you know, Seattle are playing New England in the Super Bowl. We knew that would be in a few weeks' time. We'd probably have to go, you know, we'd probably be in Guatemala. We'd have to go and, you know, book a place in a bar to watch that, because it's, you know, one of the most watched sporting events in the world. But between Then, and Guatemala, we had to make a mad dash through Honduras. Now, if you remember episode or two ago, when you go across a border crossing, make sure you compass mentors. Of course, not being compass mentors this time for this reason. Joe being Joe, blonde, blue eyes, pretty much very attractive to a lot of the native ladies, without a shadow of a doubt. He was like a chick magnet. No word of lie, it's an absolute chick magnet. So we'd all gone out one evening. All four of us had gone out. Aaron and the other guy had gone home early. Again, we knew we had to be up early the following day, get to the bus station, etc., etc., because we were going to head across towards La Ceiba in the north of Honduras. But of course, me being me, I don't learn my lessons, or certainly at that time, didn't learn my lessons. I was out with Joe. Got a bit cheesed off because the girl I wanted to get with, he got with instead. I was like, oh, this sucks. So I stomped off home, got back about 4 o'clock in the morning, not drunk or anything, more tired, things like that, getting annoyed with myself. Then I had to get up to get the bus at 7 o'clock in the morning. Again, Aaron, prodding me, waking me up. He's like, get up, you fat bastard. Come on, get up. So got up and I'm dirt tired. I'm not hungover this time, not been taking extracurricular or doing extracurricular things, just very, very tired this time. And the journey itself all the way up to La Ceiba was quite cool. It was quite entertaining because number one, we were on time, which is always a good start. But in order to get from where we were in the hostel to the main bus station, we ended up getting on the back of an army truck. I kid you not, ended up getting on the back of an army truck. So you get these army style trucks and you just plop your luggage on and normally you sit down on the benches on the side. But there was no benches, so we ended up just standing up, holding on to the railings. So we were on the army bus, or the army thing, for about 10 minutes to get to the bus station. That's a journey I'll never forget, at 7 o'clock in the morning. Going around on an army truck looking like you're ruling town. Happy days, as far as we're concerned. Had a great time. But it was easy to get to the border between Nicaragua and... Nicaragua, and what's the other country? Honduras. Losing myself there, between Nicaragua and Honduras. So we ended up at the Frontera Las Manos, pretty much the main road between up from Esteli up into Honduras itself. No issues getting across the border. That is absolutely fine. Next thing we know, we've got to wait around a little bit for a bus because we've got to go to a place called El Paraiso, or the Paradise. Aptly named. So we had to wait on the border for about an hour to get a little colectivo up to El Paraiso. Then we got into El Paraiso. At this time, this is about midday here. So we're thinking, well, we don't really want to be hanging around at La Ceiba, or we don't really want to be hanging around all day long in Honduras. We really need to get to La Ceiba by nightfall. The challenge that we've got is that the capital, which is Tegucigalpa is south central. Now, we're going to get there easily because it's only an hour or two away from where we were. That's not a problem. The problem is to get from Tegucigalpa up to La Ceiba, you've got to go up to pretty much the main place to go to, San Pedro Sula. Now, San Pedro Sula at the time, and this is my understanding, is the most dangerous city in the world in terms of people killing people, etc., etc., etc. Extremely dangerous. And we didn't want to take the risk of ending up in San Pedro Sula for the night. It would just be, I think, and again, whether it's the Western media feeding us that, I don't know. But we decided we don't really want to end up there for the night. So we know we're going to make it to the capital. We've done everything right so far. We've got up early in the morning. We're on the road. I've been sleeping for most of it, but we're on the road. We're on time. Fine. We took the risk. We got the bus over to Tegucigalpa and got dropped off at a bus station. From what we saw of Tegucigalpa, it looked like quite a nice place, actually, from being on a bus and going around the main routes. We got dropped off at the bus station. And again, we're following the Lonely Planet. We, thank the bus for doing that. Off at the bus station and went to ask for tickets to San Pedro Sula. About 3 o'clock in the afternoon. We're doing okay for time. not great, but we're doing okay. About 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And to our horror, the person at the bus station said that, well, the buses from San Pedro Sula don't go from this bus station. You have to go across town to get to the other bus station. But she said, you know, you're going to have to be quick because the last bus to San Pedro Sula leaves at, I think it's about 3:30, 4 o'clock. And we're like, shit. I said, well, yeah, how do we get there? Can you book a taxi for us? Luckily, and incredibly helpful, and I like this because not just because people helped us out, but also because if you speak a bit of the language, find that people are more than likely going to help you, which is really, really a cool thing. We had basically asked the lady to book a taxi for us. She'd gone from a booth, flagged a taxi outside for us, got us in. She negotiated the fare with the driver for us, so we didn't have a lot of Nicaraguan currency on us. We'd picked up some from El Paraiso in the bus station, but we hadn't got a lot. Boom, happy days. She done that all for us, negotiated the fare. She told the cabbie to get on it, you know, i.e. be a bit crazy, just drive as quickly as you can and get these lads off at the bus station. So we thanked her for a time. Now, this wasn't as scary as the little bus journey we done in Cusco when we went to visit the site. But I mean, this guy was in and out of traffic, to say the least. It was an experience, and a good one at that. He's flown us pretty much to this bus station the other side of town. We've got off. We've given him the cash. Said our thank yous. Grabbed our bags. Got into the bus station. Bear in mind, at this time it's probably about 3:45. I got into the bus station. We're a little bit hungry as well. I haven't really had time to stop and eat anything. Got in, Dos Boletas, San Pedro Sula. Thankfully, there was a few tickets available. The last bus of the day was actually at 4:00. So it was a case of quickly getting the tickets. The bus was already outside. Grabbed like a bottle of Coke and a packet of chips, a packet of crisps from the stand onto the bus. That's it, we're off to San Pedro Sula. Good times. And the trip to San Pedro Sula was okay. It took 3 or 4 hours. You know, we must have got there about 8, 8:30, something along those lines, maybe a little bit earlier from memory. And this was where it was a bit risky because we didn't know the bus time between San Pedro Sula and the Sabre. So we had no idea. We'd taken the risk. We said that we'd take the risk, otherwise we'd just be wasting days away. We took the risk. Got into San Pedro Sula bus station at whatever time. Got off, went straight to the counter in La Sabre. Now, whether this is Honduras buses, I don't know. But everything seemed to be timed very, very well, which is always nice. Turns out we had a 15-minute wait for the final bus of the day, final bus of the evening to the cyber. To be fair, even the woman behind the counter pretty much says something along the lines of, you're lucky there's a last bus. You don't want to be staying in this place, basically. So we jumped on the last bus. We ended up getting to the cyber about 10:30. Again, we're in the middle of nowhere. We dropped off, you know, the bus station is not in the greatest part of town. We have no hostel booked. So again, we've gone back to the Lonely Planet. As you do, you know, Lonely Planet's like a Bible. We've gone back to the Lonely Planet. We've gone, right, we'll go and stay. We'll just take us to this hostel, which oddly was called the Lemon Hostel. Pretty much the same name as the one in Buenos Aires. Cab driver dropped us off there, and luckily this place had rooms available. Pretty much got in there, chucked in our bags, pretty much went to sleep. But before we done that, double checked the boat times to Yutila, and also then checked in or booked a hostel for 5 or 6 nights there as well. So we got away with it slightly, and that was a mad dash through Honduras. It worked out in our favour. This really worked out in our favour. When I look back on it, yeah, probably shouldn't have gone out the night before because I was damn tired. I had a great night's sleep, but was very, very tired. But we'd done everything we could. We got up early in the morning. We'd gone with the flow as best as we could. It's always nice to go with the flow when you can, even if it can be a bit tetchy. And even if you don't really like doing it, it's the art of being out there on the road. You're with there with your mate. You know, no matter what happens, you stand together through the good and the bad. And you know, we saw a lot of great countryside going through Honduras that day. And we ended up in La Sabre. We ended up exactly where we needed to end up. We were only there for one night. Turns out that the boat the following morning to Udilla left at about 7:30. So we weren't going to be there for very long. It was just nice to sort of lay your head down into a nice comfortable bed, which is exactly what we'd done that evening. That's pretty much that part of Honduras. Next episode, we will be on the island of Udilla, and we will be then making our way over into Guatemala. Join us next time, see what we can find, and see what we end up swimming with in Utila. Hasta luego.